This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Tuesday, May the 3rd. I'm Angela Denning. The Petersburg Borough Assembly yesterday passed a budget for the next fiscal year, but not before amending it to include more funding for WAVE. WAVE stands for Working Against Violence for Everyone. The nonprofit is losing funding this year, and its board fears that the one-person office might have to close down. Assemblyman Jay Stanton Greger brought up the idea of giving WAVE the $45,000 they requested. He read from a statement.
WAVE is a critical piece of community infrastructure. I stress the word critical. Further, they're the only agency who has stated that this request is a one-time request. This is not a long-term financial relationship they're looking for.
WAVE Director Annette Wooten reiterated that point. She told the Assembly that she had reconfirmed with lawmakers that there would be no state funding this year.
What I'm requesting is mainly to sustain WAVE for the year so that we know that we can have an employee for 1 year, that we know that we have an office space for that 1 year, and that way we don't have to think, well, maybe we'll get halfway through the year and then we'll have to lose this position.
She says the organization plans to keep fundraising. Assembly members started brainstorming how to find the extra $20,000 to fully fund WAVE. Assemblyman Eric Castro proposed pulling some money budgeted for Petersburg Mental Health Services.
I feel that mental health has the ability to weather the storm better than WAVE does.
Besides the school district, mental health gets more funding in the borough's budget than other community services organizations. PMHS has received $85,000 from the borough in recent years. The nonprofit was budgeted to get $75,000 this year. WAVE was budgeted for $25,000. Kathy O'Rear spoke on behalf of PMHS and said it wouldn't look good on the state level if the borough gave them less.
If you cut our local position back, it shows the state that the locals don't support mental health in as great a degree as it did before.
O'Rear asked the Borough Assembly to take $20,000 out of the borough's reserve fund and leave funding in for mental health. Assemblyman Kurt Wohlhuter thought otherwise.
I don't think the state's going to look upon us as not caring enough about mental health in this community when they themselves are going to be reducing the mental health budget too in the state. I think they'll just look at us as being physically responsible.
The Assembly voted 6-1 on the budget amendment to pull $20,000 from PMHS's $75,000 and put it towards WAVE. Nancy Strand was the only no vote. Funding for community service organizations totals $1.96 million. The school district gets $1.8 million of that, which is the same amount the district has received the last 4 years. The Assembly discussed that part of the budget further, saying there will likely be more requests from local organizations as the state continues to cut in the future. The Assembly talked about creating an application process for organizations to use for requesting funding from the borough. Assemblywoman Cindy Lagadakis says the current process doesn't work well.
I had asked for some more information from organizations this year, and we got a real mixed bag from very detailed information from some organizations to really half-baked information from some, and I have to put it that way. And I was really disappointed to see that organizations that were coming to us asking for money couldn't give us a better picture of why they needed that money.
Assemblyman Bob Lynn says he would like a set of criteria for the organizations to follow when they request funds.
You know, so we can compare budgets. You know, right now you really can't. I'd like to see at least some financial information and so that we're able to look at it across the board.
Stanton Greger agreed, saying he would like to foster transparency and fairness within the process.
Every other layer of our budget has been thoroughly vetted by department heads. Jody, Steve, etc. And this isn't the fault of the people applying for community service money. Just they apply, and then it comes to us. It has no layer of vetting in there. And it can make for, it feels discriminatory, and it could be capricious to the will of an assembly down the line. It, I think, could be much better long term for people in the community service portion of the budget to have a structure they can follow that better allows an assembly to make an informed decision.
After a lot of talk on the community services portion of the budget, the Assembly unanimously passed the overall budget without much discussion. That budget totals $9.6 million. The Juneau Assembly approved the guidelines for a city pot license yesterday. Those seeking to cultivate commercial marijuana in Juneau will have to apply for the $250 license in addition to the state's. It's part of the Assembly's attempt to streamline the conditional use permit process and establish new guidelines for marijuana businesses. Commercial pot grows are zoned for industrial areas and some low-density neighborhoods like parts of Thane, North Douglas, and Out the Road. Lisa Cohn, a North Douglas resident, testified that she wasn't happy about the possibility of living next to a grow operation.
We're at the point where we have to sort of put up with what's going on North Douglas, even though all the neighbors that we have spoken with are in disagreement with what's going on. But I feel strongly that individuals who are growing out there need to live on their properties.
The new guidelines say a person must live on site if they are cultivating commercial marijuana in a Juneau neighborhood. That could be the owner or a tenant. Grow houses must be set back 25 feet from the property line. Two people testified that shifting regulations could discourage new businesses. They said some of the regs were based on antiquated fears, but Assemblymember Kate Troll says that wasn't the case.
We want to proceed with this. I feel that we aren't driven by reefer madness and assuming that everybody is a bad hippie from those previous days.
The Assembly approved the city marijuana license and changes with a vote of 7-2, with Assemblymember Mary Becker and Jerry Nankervis voting no. State lawmakers found they had less space and not enough desks or phones to go around yesterday. That's because they're sharing space in Juneau's Bill Race Center while the Capitol is being renovated. They gathered for floor sessions in a former school gym in another building, the Terry Miller Legislative Office. The House made slow progress on a bill that would overhaul criminal sentencing and prisoner reentry laws. The body added 4 amendments to the bill Monday afternoon before taking a break. It figures to be a long night of debate on the measure, which has raised concern for some victims' rights advocates. The legislation draws on recommendations by the Alaska Criminal Justice Commission. House Speaker Nikiski Republican Mike Chenault says legislators are still trying to understand all of the changes that are being proposed to that bill.
There's a number of amendments, probably 20-some-odd other amendments, and some folks don't know what they do, so they want to spend a little bit of time to decide what they do and how to either argue for or against them.
The only other meeting yesterday was the Legislative Council, which was scheduled to discuss office space in Anchorage. Governor Bill Walker has said he would veto money to buy the Anchorage Legislative Information Office. A marten dragging a chicken across a highway in Ketchikan caused a 2-vehicle collision just before noon on Saturday. According to Alaska State Troopers, the marten was fighting and dragging the chicken across the southbound lane on a curve at about mile 10 of the North Tongass Highway. A 75-year-old Ketchikan woman was headed southbound in a 1999 Honda Civic, and she braked abruptly when she rounded the curve and saw the animals in the roadway. A 47-year-old Ketchikan man driving a 1998 Dodge truck behind her attempted to stop to avoid the collision, but due to heavy rain, his truck slid and rear-ended the Honda. A passenger in the truck said he had a possible injury, and he was transported to Peace Health Ketchikan Medical Center for evaluation. All parties reported wearing seatbelts. Martens are carnivores and are members of the weasel family. According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, adult martens are about 20 to 25 inches long. They weigh up to 4 pounds, and their natural prey includes voles, birds, and squirrels. And Alaska State Troopers are seeking information about a theft of cash and prescription drugs from a home on Prince of Wales Island in Heidelberg. According to troopers, law enforcement was notified Sunday that sometime between 11 p.m. Saturday and noon Sunday, someone had entered the home and then entered a locked bedroom, taking a Sentry lock box, which contained about $900 in cash and more than 100 prescription opiate pills. The homeowner was home at the time and told troopers that she didn't hear or see anything. Troopers report that there was no sign of forced entry and nothing else appeared to be stolen. They're asking the public for help with that. Alaska's capital is one of the most expensive places to live in the nation, with no roads in or out. Juneau has been dealing with what the city is calling a stuck housing market. It's been suggested that 1,000 affordable rental units are needed to keep up with the demand. For low-income people, this can be especially tough, but one Juneau family is taking matters into their own hands and challenging the convention of what makes a house a home. KTOO's Elizabeth Jenkins has this next story, which is part of an ongoing series called Chasing the Dream.
Hey, do you know who a Carrie Joy is?
Carrie Joy doesn't have a home address, but she has really helpful neighbors.
Supposed to be a great boat.
Yachts, sailboats, and fishing vessels bob on the water at Aurora Harbor. and nearby there's a row of small houseboats. What they lack in space, some make up for in character. They're fiberglass or made of wood, painted the colors of the rainbow. Carrie's is gray, which at the moment isn't really helping us out.
Hello?
But then she calls, and we're pointed in the right direction. Walking down the dock, we see it. The little gray boat with yellow trim. Carrie's 9-year-old son, William, invites us into a tiny door.
It's a construction zone. This is my bed, my desk, my dining table. This is where William and I do school. This is where I write when I write. This used to be a futon.
Carrie homeschools both kids, so it's also a floating classroom. And it's a space where William sleeps. His bed touches the foot of Carrie's. Her 14-year-old son sleeps in the back with little more separation, but there's no bedroom door. The entire home is just 200 square feet.
Privacy is a huge sacrifice. We have to be very intentional about giving each other privacy. I mean, you can look around and see that there's nowhere to hide here.
Without walls, personal boundaries replace physical ones. She says everything from getting dressed in the morning to taking a shower can be an obstacle, especially with her youngest, who loves to give running commentary.
Our life is a musical, and typically he sings it.
As a single mom, she decided to buy the houseboat 3 years ago.
When I came to look at it, I knew it would be hard. But it has a shower, has a flush toilet, and there was room to put bunks in, and I just loved it. It was just so sweet.
The cost, around $28,000. Carrie used to be a teacher. She was also a state employee. But now she makes money freelance writing and cleaning houses.
I make ends meet, first of all, because I don't have any debt. And then second of all, I keep my expenses extremely low.
That means making the most of about $1,600 a month. To put that in perspective, that's less than a third of Juno's average yearly income. And Carrie's supporting two kids. She receives food stamps, and she's also eligible for federal cash assistance. But she hasn't taken it yet. That would mean having to first cash out a retirement with the state. Something that up until recently, she wasn't ready to do. So at the end of the month, is this enough?
Well, I'm still breathing. And my children are still breathing. You know, they have shoes on their feet and their bellies aren't hungry. So I guess it depends on what you consider a need. Could we use some different things? Absolutely. You know, would it be nice to have a door that shuts that doesn't go to the outside? Yes, that would super rock. But is it necessary? Not at this point.
Carrie says what is necessary for her family is time. Teaching in the public school system left her feeling burned out. And as a parent, she didn't think one-size-fits-all learning was beneficial for her kids. That's why she decided to homeschool.
Honestly, it's for me, it was probably a pretty selfish decision. Because I like reading cool books. Hey, let's do this. You know, I like doing cool art projects. I like doing music. I like learning scientific principles, and I couldn't keep up in school, but teaching my own kids, we can discover those things together.
Carrie's family has lived on the water longer than she thought they would. The plan was to save up for a regular house, and she thinks that could still happen, but probably not until after her sons are grown. Right now, they're in the process of renovating the boat, and Carrie will eventually have her own room again. She says, from the outside, she might look poor.
But I am so time rich, and most of the folks who are struggling to make their ends meet are time poor and money poor. So no, had I not chosen to live on a boat here in Juneau, especially, again, considering lot rent with a trailer versus harbor fees for a boat, there's no way I could do it and be sane and happy and have sane and happy children. And anybody who knows me might wonder about the sane part, and I'm okay with that, but nobody will tell you that we're not happy. We are so happy.
And she's dating somebody she says can relate. He lives on a boat, too. In Juneau, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins.
And I'm Angela Denning. This wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. Thanks for listening.